Welcome to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is August 6, 2014. It is Wednesday. You're in the right place. If you've been watching television, you have noticed that there is another move toward Ukraine-Russia, because things are kind of quiet in Gaza, in Palestine, and Israel's kind of backing off of that, so there's nothing there to see. So let's go back to Ukraine and talk about that one, and upping the ante in two different cases, in my estimation. Two different cases of making you think the Ruskies are bad, we've got to go get them. A U.S. general is slain in Afghanistan. Do you realize how big that is, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, that's like, how did they let that happen?
That's got to be a step beyond, oops, we are so stupid, right?
Oh,
I mean, this is huge.
It's an oops, nobody's getting a promotion in that arena, right? For sure. It is really bad. I cannot imagine what is happening, the undercurrent of what is happening right now as a result of that taking place. And, of course, they're downsizing the military. We need to downsize the military. We don't have, you know, we don't need all these people here. We have a budget situation. And so more and more stuff starts happening. But a general, I know he was a BG, Brigadier General, one star, but a Brigadier General killed, first time since Vietnam.
Wow.
And more NSA docs showing Israeli action in Gaza. Has U.S. fingerprints all over it. Yesterday, I was watching a horrible situation in which people were being bombed in Ukraine, and they were hiding underground. And you know what they were saying? They showed the translation on TV. If there is a war, U.S. is involved in it. U.S. is not far away.
Right.
And these are what poor Ukrainian people hiding in underground bunkers were saying.
I think the world's starting to get it.
Yes,
they really do.
They are. They're starting to get the fact that that's the only answer we have is war, war, more war, killing, torturing, and then abandoning these people and saying, oops, well, it was their fault anyway.
Well, why break precedent? You know, once you have a system that works, it's easy just to keep going with it, you know?
Bingo. Ebola outbreak is worse, much worse than thought. And remember this Mr. Sawyer who was coming to the United States? I cannot even imagine that the story they're giving out now about him is true, which we need to address the fact that the hygienist came back to the United States, went into Emory Hospital in a stretcher looking very ill. Why they're doing this, I have no idea. Still, a lot of people saying, are you kidding me? You're creating this problem in the United States for a few IV bags and the secret sauce that you're giving them. Yep, that is true. And so she's getting better, we are told, but then I don't trust anything that they're saying for sure. The U.S. test for Ebola is probably unreliable. And what you're hearing is nothing more than the creation of a story to surround the Ebola outbreak. And that just makes me so angry that the American people are being used and abused again. How much money is missing that they cannot show what happened to it? A lot.
A lot.
A lot. Yeah. What? I wish we could get away with, you know, just saying, gee, I just don't know where it went. I know it was spent and for a very good cause, and it was tax deductible, but I just don't remember where it is.
I think this is an important story, too, because what happened last time we heard reports about a whole bunch of money being missing? Well, it was the day before 9/11, wasn't it? So every time they come out and say, oh, we're missing a whole bunch of money, my false flag meter kind of goes off thinking, oh, man, what's going to happen this week?
I think that false flag meter's really been clicking along recently, and mm-hmm. I think for very good reason. Mm-hmm. What you got for us, JD?
Well, we've got more of the Russian jumping on the bandwagon stuff with a tech story today that we want to talk about. A huge potential breach of some websites, probably the biggest in the world. We also have the Department of Energy has released their very thoughtful and timely response to how they're going to deal with the Hanford nuclear site. And since we're going to have some guests that came back from Fukushima on today, we want to talk about nuclear stuff today.
We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned. This is Joyce.
And JD.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. It's all about the truth, and it's all about getting ready for war. It appears, because yesterday, when Fox News, Fox Business News, started talking in terms of Russia appears to want war, Russia is amassing at the border, and of course you have this picture in your mind of all these guys standing right at a borderline with weapons, which is not really what it is, but that's the picture they're showing us. They're all standing at the border, ready to come on, ready to go into Ukraine, and they set the stage so greatly that the stock market started tumbling yesterday. It went down almost 200 points. Mm-hmm. Then it resolved back to about 135 in the negative position. But the fear of the war is what they kept talking about, and every time they'd mention fear of the war, the stock market would go down.
Seems weird. I would think that war would be the driver behind the stock market at this point, just because that's where all the money and industry is going to be.
Okay, but initially, see, it's a fear. It's an uncertainness. Mm-hmm. Initially, that's what happens. Mm. And then it starts, you know, the more we get into the war.
Once you figure out who's going to get the contracts, I guess,
bingo.
Then that makes more sense. Yeah.
Happy days are here again.
Right.
And so looking at what happened yesterday, the general getting killed in Afghanistan. Now, a general getting killed is highly unusual. If you consider that since the late 1960s was the last time a general was killed in a war, because they're pretty protected. They don't go out anywhere where it's really going to be all that dangerous or anybody's going to get access to them, except, you know, in the way that we run a war now. Now, whether this was, I hate to say that this could have been by design. I don't want to say that because I don't want to think they're sacrificing their own to make a point of Russia's bad, Russia's bad. Because here's the point that was made immediately after this guy was killed. First of all, they admit that they didn't know his name, couldn't give away his name because family had not been notified.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, we have his name. He's a one-star general, brigadier general. He was killed by a man wearing an Afghan military suit. With a, here it is, here's the key part, with a Russian weapon, a Russian light machine gun.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, first of all, we know that they were on an American base, right? So most likely this Afghanistan guy was probably supposed to be there, probably part of some kind of training mission.
Yes, it was like a West Point for Afghanistan.
Exactly. And so has a Russian weapon. Right, because those guys are using AK-47s. That's the weapon that Afghanistan has had forever. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they would just use that random coincidence to pigeonhole this as if Russia has something to do with arming these Afghanis, who we know have taken, what, like 75% of the weapons that we've left in Afghanistan anyway? I mean, it's mind-boggling that they would try to make that connection.
But isn't it funny that the minute they know his identity, they knew it was a Russian light machine gun. A Russian weapon.
What a waste of brain cells for them to even mention that. But it's like this story.
Part of the agenda.
Right. I have to mention this whole Russian hacking story because we've got this hacking story where a gang of Russians supposedly stole 1.2 billion usernames and passwords, which is, ostensibly four times larger than the breach that we've been harping on about at Target. You remember Target stock went way down, been huge, huge deal. The news agency, it's USA Today, where I got this story from, is reporting this, won't tell about who the victims are. Won't tell you who the companies are. 420,000 websites got hit by this Russian gang over the course of 7 months. 1.2 billion passwords and usernames. They don't want to tell you who it is. They don't want to tell you who the victims are, but they're more than happy to tell you that it's a gang of Russians. Okay.
Yes.
So it's the same exact thing. Should you go out and change all your passwords and email stuff? I'd love to be able to tell you the answer to that, but I don't know because nobody's telling me that. Again, it's just more of this Russia bandwagon stuff.
It's the Ruskies are coming. The Ruskies are coming. They're bad. They're bad.
Mm-hmm.
And anything they can do to play into the Ruskies are bad. They said there are how many websites hacked?
420,000 websites. I didn't even know, and this is honest, I didn't even know there were that many websites in the world.
Yeah.
And they were all hacked. The whole internet got hacked, apparently, but nobody wants to talk about that.
And how many months ago?
Within the last 7 months. It was an ongoing, they had an investigation going for 7 months while they tracked these guys.
Okay, so what did they do? They said, well, it's only 40,000 now, so let's not bother to tell people.
That's exactly what they did.
It's only 80,000 now.
Yep.
It's only 120,000. It's only, look, when it gets up to 420,000, then we'll tell the people.
When it gets up to every website known to man,
we'll
mention it, but we won't tell you the plan or how to fix it or what to do to protect yourself. We're just going to use it to showcase the fear that you need to have against Russia right now.
Yes. And it's playing perfectly into the game now, because they're saying, you know, we've got more grainy pictures here of grainy things at the grainy border. Mm-hmm. And so the Russians are coming. Get ready. They're going to invade Ukraine. Now, I don't know, but do you think Russia is finally saying, look, we've had enough of this?
I kind of thought that yesterday. So we spoke about this yesterday, about nobody's really talking about the Ukraine. So I really went yesterday and I did try to get as much accurate new information about Ukraine as I could. And one of the things that really struck me was, A, the amount of people who have been killed in eastern Ukraine by the Kiev junta is staggering. They're talking about numbers above 4,000 people have been killed and about 1,000 people injured. Again, women, children, 25% of which have never been in combat, don't want to be in combat. So real similar numbers to Gaza. Again, we're not seeing that on TV. But the displaced people, over 100,000 people have left the eastern Ukraine and gone into Russia.
Okay, wait a second. Gone into Russia.
Yes.
Who's supposed to be the bad guy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all fleeing to go to Russia because the treatment is better than their own country dropping bombs on them.
Yes, so total in Russia right now, there are 730,000, nearly three quarters of a million Ukrainians who are there in Russia trying not to get killed. On a visa-free regime, they're just basically gave them, said, please come over here because the U.S. and NATO is going to bomb you if you stay where you are. So perhaps this troop buildup that we're supposedly seeing on the border, maybe these are just support personnel for all the people who have been displaced from Ukraine. Because I would imagine if you're going to try and take care of 730,000 Ukrainians, you probably need 20,000 troops and a lot of ground support and a lot of bathrooms and cots and things like that that these people don't have. So are they troops that are getting ready to pour over to the border and take over the gas fields in eastern Ukraine? Maybe. Or are they there just to protect the people of the Ukraine who are decided they don't want to get bombed anymore? I think that's more likely, in my opinion.
Well, it's not good. And
it is being
played up as if it is, get ready for war, get ready for war. And when Fox Business said this yesterday, you know, the cute little girl, whatever her name is, you know, the girl that does all the... from the floor, that little cleavage,
yes,
babe there that
mm-hmm.
always is from the floor at the Dow. She, or at the Wall Street, that's a stock exchange, she is even talking about, well, it's the fear of war with Russia that's bringing the market down.
Hmm.
I am just surprised. I'm very surprised. So it's going to continue, and I think we're going to see more and more of Russians bad, Russians bad. And please don't email me with, Joyce, I'm tired of you being pro-Russian. I'm not pro-Russian. I'm not pro-Ukrainian. I am against the United States' involvement in every single place where there is a war.
Yes.
And that poor Ukrainian lady who was saying, we're underground here, and we are fighting for our lives, and anywhere you see war, you see the United States. Oh, my gosh. It was just like, whoa. And she was saying in, you know, our broken Ukrainian, as if I know Ukrainian, you know.
Right.
I can tell you it was broken. I don't know. But, I mean, it's in being interpreted anywhere fighting is and killing is, the United States can be seen.
It's accurate. It's an accurate statement.
And that's what Greenwald is saying with his new Intercept.
Mm-hmm.
Reported by The Intercept's Glenn Greenwald on Monday, all new NSA documents show how the U.S. spy agency has significantly increased the surveillance assistance it provides to its Israeli counterpart. The Israeli SIGINT, or Signal Intelligence National Unit, also known as Unit 8200, including data used to monitor and target Palestinians. The U.S. is totally on the side of Israel. We know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even this morning they said that no Republican, they said this on CNN regarding Rand Paul, because Rand Paul made some statements about, you know, cutting off the funding in Israel. Oh, my gosh, the world's going to collapse. How dare he do that?
That's a huge statement coming from Rand Paul, though, because he has a strong history of supporting Israel. So.
Yes. And so when he said it's time to cut off the funding of them, he can see children dying. Isn't that amazing? A lot of people can't, but
right?
He can see children dying. And so they're saying cut off the money to Israel. And they made the statement on CNN this morning that no Republican can be reelected if they don't support Israel. I mean, what kind of pressure is that? What kind of treatment is that? All right, moving to the issue of Israel and Gaza. Yes, the 72-hour ceasefire has begun. Both sides supposedly were, firing and doing bad things prior to that, but nothing has really happened since that time. However, yesterday, another major shoe fell, for me anyway. One of those I can never go back again things is because CNN, Wolf Blitzer, dual citizen Wolf Blitzer, has Moshe Feigen on the program. Moshe Feigen is the deputy speaker at the Israeli Knesset, which is essentially our U.S. representatives or the legislative body. He wrote a letter to Netanyahu. The letter calls essentially for genocide of the Hamas people. So they bring Feigen on the program, Moshe Feigen on the program, and Wolf Blitzer says, I was stunned. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to call JD. I don't have time. I want him to see this. And Wolf Blitzer says, Moshe Feigen, did you say this? Did you write this in this letter? He said, I've got a copy of the letter here. And he read the letter. Mm-hmm. He said, did you say this? And he said, of course I did. And he said, they need to have all electricity cut off to these people. They need to be put in quarantine. They need to be separated from everyone else. They are not, basically not equal to us.
He's calling for concentration camps in Gaza. How ironic is that? Just yes. On the face of it.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and everybody is, you know, hearing the word H, Holocaust, mm-hmm. you know, and thinking, what is he saying? But the senior Israeli politician urged Israel to conquer the entire Gaza Strip and deport all Palestinians.
Yeah.
But put them in concentration camps first mm-hmm. and possibly kill them and exterminate them. The E word. I couldn't believe it.
He sounds like someone who should have a platform on mainstream media, doesn't he?
Let me tell you what happened after this. We'll be right back after this. 4 minute break. I didn't do it. Wolf Blitzer. We'll be back. 4 minutes. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Joy Schmiley. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world. You know, when the deputy speaker of the Israeli Knesset says they are not equal to us and they all need to be exterminated, I mean, I listened to it. I listened to it on CNN. Now, don't say I am, don't email me and say that JD and I are pro-Palestinian. We are pro not killing people. I don't care if it's Ukraine. I don't care if it's Palestine. I don't care if it is Somalia. Quit killing people.
Yes.
My heart bleeds. And the people I worry about are the ones whose heart does not bleed when these people are killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said just so much as, so the children die. I mean, the children die in a war. No, you don't have to have a war. Anyway, the senior Israeli politician urged, now I want you to look him up. You look him up yourself and decide. I believe it's out now. It's on the table. It's this is what we believe. This is what we want done. Let's quit playing games about we're going to take down tunnels or, you know, or we need to take out Hamas. This is the motivation.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an Operation Clean Sweep. That's what we've talked about before. And I'll tell you, the things that we're going to talk about right now out of this article are the kind of the lightweight stuff that this guy says.
Yes.
Just saying.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and Wolf Blitzer was even acting shocked. I don't know if he was or not.
Acting. Emphasis on acting.
I can't tell. But he was saying, because the senior Israeli politician has urged Israel to conquer the entire Gaza Strip and deport all Palestinians. Moshe Feigen, the deputy speaker of the Knesset, published his plan on his Facebook page on August 1st. After addressing the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with a letter, this is our country exclusively, including Gaza, he wrote in the letter. He rejected any Palestinian presence in the Israeli state territories and offered the creation of concentration camps where Gazans would be held there until they can be deported to other countries. And Wolf Blitzer says, are you kidding me? Did you really say this?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you bet I said
He's
this.
He's talking about lining people up and putting them on trains. Does no one
yes.
else see the irony here? I mean, this is an indefensible position.
Indefensible position is right.
Yeah.
And he said also that you bet I mean this. I've meant it for many years. And all you have to do a wiki on him.
Yeah.
Do a wiki. His last name is spelled F-E-I-G-L-I-N. At least somebody's being honest. You know, I almost respect the guy for being honest mm-hmm. and coming out and saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what he believes, he's honest. Instead of, well, we're going to get these tunnels because, you know, they could kidnap. Oh, that's crazy. His plan is considered as a direct and public incitement to genocide. Now, this is a punishable crime under the Genocide Convention. While he faces a smear campaign by left-wing journalists, his letter has been condemned by hundreds of people via Facebook. All right. Here's what else he's saying. He calls for the concentration camps, number one. He calls for Gazans to be rounded up and exterminated. He calls for a final solution for Gaza.
Wow.
Israeli official calls for concentration camps again. And he calls for right-wing Israel politicians call for Gazans to be separated. Israel and the language of genocide is what's talked about here. He proposes expelling Palestinians again, over and over and over again. Daily Mail, all the big, that was Daily Mail I was quoting from earlier. Israeli calls for genocide rooted in history, the war within Gaza. And he believes they are justified. And then there's an article called The Death of Sympathy for those people. Fars News Agency says annihilate Gaza. Press TV says destroy Gaza. On and on, the articles written about Fagelin and what he believes in doing. And so Wolf Blitzer says, now, I want to be clear here. Did you say this? Did you write this? He said, absolutely, I wrote that. So if that is the motive and that is the goal of many of the Zionists, because we have to continue to separate Zionists from Israelis. I believe that very strongly. Just like we separate the rogue government here in the United States from those of us who really love this country. And don't call me pro-Palestinian. Don't do that, because that's not my position. I would say I was at one point pro-Israeli, but now I'm looking at all the facts. I've had so many people emailing us and saying, thank you for opening up our eyes. And they say, why are you doing this? I'll tell you why. Because nobody else has the guts to do it. I don't hear anybody else on any other program doing this. And saying, let's look at both sides. Let's not just look at Israel good, Palestine bad. And I will read to you some of the, after this break, let me just give you a couple of positions, pro and con, on what we're doing. And all the threats to not buy from the Power Hour because I'm talking about this, you have to do what you have to do. If you believe that strongly, it's okay to kill those children and annihilate the Palestinians. That's your right to do that. I choose not to. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. You know, this Israeli politician calling for Gazans to be rounded up and exterminated. I mean, that's, you know, I think they may be extending that just a little bit more than what he said. But I'll tell you what, you read the letter yourself. Now, it's in Hebrew. Makes it a little difficult for most of us. But there is a translation of it online, and you can see that. But calls for a direct and public incitement to genocide. That's what his plan is considered. And it is a crime under the Genocide Convention. I am just astounded by this. Now, J.D. just said that he's the John Boehner of the United States, or the John Boehner of Israel. His position is a pretty powerful position.
Extremely powerful, yep.
And so here's a couple of comments. People are wanting to deal with the religious issue, of course, of the Ark of the Covenant, the return of the Messiah to Jerusalem, or to Israel, and why that is so important. You know, but the more I hear all of this, the more I'm wondering, have we been fed a story about setting up an Israel in 1947 as an antidote to all of this? Man set it up. Is that really the story? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And so I'm getting a lot of people that are not happy because Israel good, Palestine bad. I mean, that's what they say. That's basically what they say. And how dare you not support the official position of the United States? Well, guess what? That's not the only position I don't support here of the United States,
right,
of the rogue government. And then I get this letter from Arlene. Thank you so much. She says, I know, she says, I've been fighting this battle on Facebook. And anytime you say anything that is not pro-Israel, the Christians get venomous. They do. They use nasty words. They talk really unchristian. And those of us who cheer you may be silent while others are emailing. So this is my email. I'm so thankful that the Power Hour is telling what Israel is doing to the Palestinians all over the world. Hundreds and thousands of people are hearing it. Praise be to Jesus. Oh, what a shame on the so-called Christian church that is supporting and even cheering the murder of these displaced people. And 20% of the Palestinians are Christians, which you do not hear mentioned
never
on television.
Never once have I heard them say that on TV.
No. Mm-mm. I never heard John Hagee say that. I never heard any of the big churches talk about, well, we're sacrificing our own Christians, too. Mm-hmm. And so-called followers of Jesus are supporting the torturing and murdering of them and the killing of their children in the name of Jesus. How can you expect anyone to respect the God you claim to serve or the church you attend? I cannot believe what I see. Israel has hit not one, but seven schools in Palestine, killed multiples of innocent little children, and maimed multiples more. Get that, folks? Seven. And you can tell these Christians that they don't bat, and these Christians don't bat an eye. And that's the unfortunate part, is true. They do not care. I hang my head. I know people right now who refuse to say that they are Christian and say that I am not. You're not, Arlene. You are a follower of Yeshua. Well, I'll tell you what, listeners, this is not a religious issue. This is not a political issue. This is an issue of humanity,
yes,
of one group of people killing another. Now, I don't care what scripture you want to put behind it. Killing is killing. And I still say that if they meant murder or killing or whatever word they wanted it to mean, then why didn't the Lord put it in there in the first place? Why didn't our Heavenly Father put it in there? So, as far as I'm concerned, the issue now is, now that we've had Moshe Feiglin presenting what the Jewish Zionist people feel, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to discuss it anymore. Other than there is a ceasefire, thank you, Yahweh, there is a ceasefire.
That's, man, the ceasefire just depresses me even more, though, because I look at the conditions that the people in Gaza are returning to right now, and it's like, what are you supposed to do with 3 days of, you're going to sit on a rubble pile with no water and no electricity? Maybe you'll maybe be able to find some of your displaced family. I mean, all it is just another act of war. It's another act of war to make these people wait and for nothing.
And is that okay with these people that have been emailing me these hate letters? Is that okay? It's going to be $5 to $10 billion, mm-hmm, it's going to take, and it's going to take 10 years to rebuild what they've done.
And I don't think that they're planning on rebuilding anything. I think that they are working their way through Gaza, and I think that's what we're going to continue to see.
There's no way you can interpret it any other way, mm-hmm, than that. I, mm-hmm, mean, other than they've got 10 to 20-pound bombs that they're lobbing into Israel. And granted, that's not right either, but these people have been pushed into such a small area, which, again, they're not showing you any maps of Gaza and Israel on TV. And if they do, they just would point, you know, here is Gaza, here is Jerusalem over here, here is Cairo over here, but no depicting of what Gaza is, because Gaza is not what it was in 1947,
right,
or 1960.
Yeah, they'll blow it up really big so you can't get the context of the area at all.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking one side or the other, because I don't even, other than Hani Hana, who's a listener to this program, I don't know any, I think any, I don't really don't think I know any Muslim people or Arab people. But be that as it may, it's not an issue of one side or the other. It's an issue of don't kill people. That's not the answer. After this many years, 2,000 years past Christ.
Exactly.
We've come to the point where all we can do is kill people.
Exactly. You've got adults around the world that cannot make adult decisions. It just boggles my mind. And then to use religion as the cornerstone of your argument of why you can go out and create genocide and you expect me to support that. It's just, yes, it's ludicrous. There's no other word.
Okay. Going to leave that alone. And okay, we're going to move to Ebola, because bringing back a second person to the United States is class act stupid, if you ask me.
Yes.
I mean, I cannot even conceive of this. You can give them IV fluids overseas. You, mm-hmm, can give it, you know, in Africa. You can take them to South Africa Hospital, which is really a nice one. You can take them anywhere over there. You can do this. You don't have to bring them back to the United States, mm-hmm, unless you want to create a fear and a panic, and they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now the television is showing all these magazine covers that say Ebola rules, you know, fear of Ebola, panic over Ebola. All these things are showing up now. And remember Mr. Sawyer, who supposedly saw his sister, who they said later had Ebola. He was on a plane, went to Nigeria, died in Nigeria while he was trying to get to the United States to see his family in Minnesota. And now they're saying that his doctor that treated him has now died, and seven other people that he came in contact with have now died.
Hmm.
Though, supposedly, you know, he was never diagnosed with Ebola, supposedly.
Right.
But he died with it. You know, they can test when they want to test, and, you know, they come up with what they want to come up with. But to me, do I know if this is all a fear-mongering story? I don't know. But the test is not all that effective. It takes 2 days. It's very expensive. So what they did was they showed at the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. Now, if we have a person that's sick here, here's what we do. You know, here's what, you know, Delta, American Airlines, all these people do, is if they're sick, we definitely, first thing we do is we take their temperature. Then we bring them into this holding area and quarantine them. And then if we need to call an ambulance, we do that. Baloney. I was just on a plane last week. A woman passes out, a black woman who we don't know where she's from. She's sweating all over. And what do? They bring anybody up there to help her that can.
Yep.
We're all over this woman trying to help her. Got a defibrillator there, ready to defib her. And, you know, and involved in the sweat and the everything else, we don't know if she's got a temperature or not. Nobody ever took her temperature because we didn't have access to that. And you're telling me that's what you do on a daily basis? This was in a place called Dallas, Texas, where they took her to. And you know what they did? They left her alone, and she had to wait to get off the plane.
Yeah, and nobody met her when she got off the plane. Like,
no.
There was nobody there to say, yeah, I think that there would want to be a doctor present just to cover liability of the airplane.
Yes.
I mean, I would want to have a doctor there if I was the airplane. So I, just really strange situation.
And I saw that myself, because when they said, we have no doctor here, I said, well, I'm sitting here. I'm not doing anything but riding on this plane. I'll go over there and see if I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And, you know, yeah, she was really, really sweaty. Now, does anybody question anything about Ebola? No. It was all about, anyway, I didn't even get a free packet of peanuts for doing that.
They didn't give you the little wings or anything.
Nothing,
I thought maybe you'd get a little airline wing or something.
Yeah, nothing. Anyway, but they're not doing anything. Don't tell me that. So when they say, well, we're going to test them. No, they're not.
Mm-mm.
Because who's going to pay for that testing? It's very expensive to do PCR testing.
Yeah, they can't even take my luggage on the plane without charging me an extra fee. So is it going to be obligatory $25 Ebola testing fees now on all your tickets? That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ebola testing fee. We're going to charge you just in case we need to test you. But the test is utterly unreliable, says John Rappaport. It does not work, and there's a lot of reasons for which it does not work, and you can read more about that in the email blast. But the PCR test that they're doing is completely unreliable for a disease diagnosis. First, technicians start with a tiny, tiny sample of genetic material from the patient. The sample may or may not be part of the virus. Not everything has the virus in it. Mistakes can be made. We know that. Oh, we are so stupid. But more importantly, the whole rationale for PCR, that's called polymerase chain reaction testing, is wrong-headed. Doctors and researchers only find a minuscule bit of hopefully relevant material in the patient to begin with. The PCR amplifies that bit so it can be observed. And now we're hearing on the TV, well, it may become airborne before long. You know, they're probably going to give you a date. You know, probably by Thursday at 0-1500, this could become viral.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, if they've got it in an incubator someplace and they know how long it takes to mutate, then they probably can.
They've done really good so far.
Set their watch to it, yeah.
Yeah, making sure that this thing is not self-limiting.
Mm-hmm.
So bring them into the United States? You have got to be kidding. This is not because we... Oh, don't tell me I don't love Christian missionaries, please. I don't want to hear that ridiculous argument. The issue is, you know, you've got two people here, and you've got the rest of the United States over here. So let's say two people here, 4 billion people over here, or 4 million people over here. Which do we risk here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. So, I can't imagine that somebody actually sat in a meeting and thought, we're going to bring these people here. This is a great idea. Unless there was an agenda behind it, and unless somebody from Monsanto was at that meeting.
Yes. And remember, they were asking Dr. Fauci, who's the head of the CDC. Man, that guy is weaselly. But they were asking Dr. Fauci on air. They said, so whose decision was it? And you could watch him squirm. Well, that's a nobody wanting to take responsibility for this. So if there's a problem, nobody that can be announced was responsible for this.
I'm keeping an eye on Lagos. If it's going to go crazy, it's going to start there just because there's a lot more poverty there. It's a lot more close quarters.
21 million population
in Lagos,
Liberia. A lot of
people. So I think if we start really seeing it take off in Lagos, that's going to be a major indicator that
Lagos, Liberia.
That things are getting out of control.
Absolutely. There was a story here by Kurt Nemo today. Israelis want to give Obama the Ebola for his birthday. I don't think we need to spend time on that one, but I'm just telling you what's out there.
I think it's an important story because even though it was a satirical site from Israel, they put up a poll saying, you know, what? Well, think about the way that the Israeli impression of our country has changed so drastically in the last, 3 months after John Kerry made his little slip up, mm-hmm. that people in Israel now are really anti-American because we're not supporting them in this genocide. And, I mean, even Kerry now is coming out and saying, we really need to start discussing proportionality because this is too hard for us to support. So I find that to be very interesting that you can see the national fervor in Israel has really moved away from the United States.
Oh, and the fervor of the world is against Israel, mm-hmm. what they're doing. I mean, everywhere there's demonstrations, but you're not seeing any on television.
And yet we still send them money.
Yes, lots and lots of money. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to other issues. J.D., what you got for us?
Well, I want to speak just a little bit about Hanford Nuclear Site. We're going to have a couple of guests on in the next hour to talk about radiation and the effects of radiation in Fukushima and what can be done about it. So I wanted to dig back into Hanford because I have the Pacific Northwest love in my heart. So the DOE yesterday, Department of Energy, came out with what I consider to be a brilliant, timely, well-thought-out plan for how they're going to deal with one of the most dangerous sites at Hanford, which is the F reactor site. Right now, there are countless barrels of radioactive material on the ground and in the groundwater, essentially, in the area. So the DOE has made a plan to monitor the site for the next 264 years. That's the plan. They were thinking about putting some pumps in the ground so they could keep all of this out of the Columbia River, but they think that might just be too expensive and really not necessary, but mostly too expensive. So that's the plan right now, to sit back, to do nothing except for monitor the site for the next 264 years. So if you live anywhere near Hanford, I would go ahead and start packing my stuff at this point because the Department of Energy has completely lost their minds.
So what is the problem at Hanford?
Well, the problem at Hanford is that we essentially did a whole bunch of nuclear testing and we created a whole bunch of nuclear weapons back in the 1940s through about the 1960s. And we didn't really keep good tabs on where we were putting all the waste material. And the waste material is everywhere. It's stored in huge tanks underground that have been leaking for decades now. And if you do any kind of start page search on Hanford, you'll find incidents of workers there getting sick, teeth falling out, all kinds of chemical mm-hmm. exposure. But really the bad site is this Reactor F, which has been a completely decommissioned site for since about 1972, as far as I know. And just buckets and buckets of really dirty radioactive water. It's strontium 90, I believe, which has got a half-life of about 150 years, which is why they're saying they're just going to monitor it for 264 years.
Oh my!
Which I'm sure is going to work out just fine.
Well, and that, oh my gosh, that correlates with what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. Yes. Jerry Peterman is going to give us an update on Fukushima. And then we have an individual, Clayton, who just returned from Japan. And he knows what's going on. He has seen it there. And it's going to shock you. Mm-hmm. And they are not allowing this information out. And we're going to find out more with in the next hour. In the third hour, a favorite of ours.
Scott Stevens will be on. We're going to talk about weather modification, the weaponization of weather modification, and I've kind of heard through the grapevine he's got some new passions that we're going to be talking about
today.
Well,
he lives in Colorado. Is that a hint?
It might be a hint.
That might be a hint. Okay. So, Scott Stevens, weatherman. Remember, he was a former weatherman on television, and he kind of couldn't take it because he's telling everybody the weather that he knew the government was creating,
mm-hmm.
so he had to stop doing that. He's a real truthful guy. Well, you're going to love what he has to say about what's being done with the weather now. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to him a little bit later. Okay. Americans got $2 trillion in benefits from the federal government in 2013. Isn't that cool? And then yesterday they announced that we need to give more money to, I can't even remember what it was because it didn't make any sense. But the president's on TV. We need to give $7 billion to, and everybody's clapping like we got the money. You know, that's
right.
What's cool.
Yeah.
They're clapping like we actually have the money. We're going to give $7 billion. I know what it was. We're going to give $7 billion to Africa because we're going to increase your ability to put jobs in Africa. Okay? Now, have we completely decided there's not going to be any more jobs in America?
Maybe we should give $7 billion to Detroit, see if we can get them out of the lurch that they're in.
Or... Oh, that's so passé. Oh, that's so passé. And besides, there's Muslims that live there. Oh. So that's just... But think about this. Think about what is taking place. And we are going to build Africa. They're doing the U.S. Africa conference now.
Right.
Bringing all these... Ebola maybes over here from Africa to be at a conference. And, of course, they're bringing their secretaries and their, you know, attaché carriers and everything else with them. And who knows? Are these people being tested for Ebola before they come over here?
Oh, I'm sure.
Right. Are they even putting a thermometer thing, that strip on their forehead? No. And so now this is so convenient. Why today? Why today are they in Washington? And this Africa summit in Washington, D.C., Africa Summit. I'm just glad it's in D.C. is all I can say. But he says, we got to give $7 billion to Africa. We don't have any money. We'll be back after this 3-minute break with the Power Hour. Stay tuned. You want to know how many billion is missing from a federal transparency site? I don't think you do. I really don't. We'll be back. 3 minutes. Stay tuned. Joyce.
And J.D.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thanks for joining us. Caring about your world. It's all about the truth. We were talking about how much money is missing because, oh, we didn't document it correctly, or, oh, we can't find it, or, oh, I don't remember seeing it, or anything. A government website intended to make federal spending more transparent. Okay, that's good right there, don't you think? A government website intended to make federal spending more transparent is missing at least $619 billion from 302 federal programs, a government audit has found.
That's their only job. That's all they do is just show where
track
the money went.
Money.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
$620 billion. That's more than the State Department lost.
I think, oh, yeah. I think what they're doing is I think they are finding ways to not track it and lose the information.
Wait a minute. They are their transparency. Maybe they made the money transparent, so that's why we can't see it. That would make more
now
sense.
Now you're way above me. Anyway, the data does exist, is wildly, and the data that does exist is completely inaccurate, according to a government accounting office who looked at 2012 spending data. And they expect you not to miss one stupid little receipt or get one little thing on line 13 of form 468 incorrect. Who are they kidding? You've got 14,000 pages. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit on that one.
I don't think so.
7,000 pages, 14,000 pages. It doesn't make any difference. Anything over 20 is too much.
Yeah.
Anything over 20 is too much. Anyway, they're saying that only 2-7% of spending data on USAspending.gov is consistent with agency records.
Only 2-7%. That's what that said.
So, well, when you go to the IRS for your audit, I would say, look, I had between 2-7% of my information accurate, and that kind of goes along with government standards.
Roughly 5% accurate. That's got to be good enough.
The Department of Health and Human Services failed to report, are you ready for this, $544 billion.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that is criminal. That is so criminal. Oh. And in Medicare, the department admitted that it should have reported aggregate numbers of spending on those programs. So that's what you say to Mr. IRS agent. Yes, you're right.
Oh, I should have reported
aggregate numbers, and I didn't. Okay? The Department of the Interior did not report spending for 163 of its 265 assistance programs, roughly half of the business that they oversee.
Unbelievable.
Its accounting systems were not compatible with the data formats required by USAspending.gov.
They're counting the money in beans.
Here we go.
They wanted dollars on the other end.
Here we go, Mr. IRS agent. I'm sorry. My information was not compatible with data formats required by you. The result, $5.3 billion in spending missing from that website.
Unbelievable.
And this is all money you are having to give up stuff for. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're giving up having to go buy a new diamond ring. I don't care if it's giving up buying a new car. I don't care, Jaguar. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's you can't homeschool your children because you've got to work 3 jobs. You're having to give up so they can go and lose your money.
Mm-hmm.
The White House itself failed to report any of the programs it's directly responsible for. The White House, let me repeat, failed to report Now, this is just a USA Today story. One of those
fringe organizations.
Yeah. Fringe media organizations. The White House itself failed to report any of the programs it's directly responsible for. At the Office of National Drug Control Policy, which is part of the White House, officials said they thought HHS was responsible for reporting their spending. Oh, I love that one. I dearly love that one. Oh, Mr. IRS, I thought that there was another organization responsible for determining what I spent. For more than 22% of federal awards, the spending website literally doesn't know where the money went. The place of performance of federal contracts was most likely wrong. Now, do we see a problem here, ladies and gentlemen? And we need to give them more money?
I want to know how much we spent on that website.
No kidding. We'll be back. Take a deep breath, everybody. 1 minute, 10 seconds. JD takes the helm.